hearts and minds to hear the gospel lesson today, which is coming from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Let us hear this story of Jesus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay at your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of God.
So today, Emily and I are kicking off a series of messages that we're calling, "Do You See What I See?" Maybe that brings to mind for you the popular Christmas song. We're not letting go of Christmas just yet. Today's Epiphany Sunday. Things come to light for us. We're going to take the next four Sundays and consider the way that Jesus saw things. Because what if we saw the people and the experiences and the events going on around us the way that Jesus saw it? And the song says things like, "Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know?" And then the king saying, "Listen to what I say." So we'll start today considering Jesus asking this question, "Do you see what I see?" But of course, to see, you have to be looking. Kind of like word search. You ever done a word search? Yeah? Where they give you the jumble of letters and you have to find the words on the list in the letter somewhere. Horizontal, vertical, diagonal. There's always that one that's backwards diagonal, but it's so hard to find. You know that feeling when you find the word, the last thing you couldn't find, and you found it? Anybody? Word search? Yeah. Okay. I know it's something wrong. We're good. Or you know that feeling when everybody's playing together, and we're all looking for this word, and nobody can find it, and you find it. Or the rarest of moments, when you find the word in there that's not even on the list, right? You found a bonus word. It feels like a superpower. And yes, there are a couple of words up here. I know you're going to be spending the whole rest of the time looking for the words in this. It's fine. Just pretend to listen. I'll just keep going. Maybe one of the best examples of really seeing someone is the story of Jesus seeing Zacchaeus that Emily just read for us. Of course, it's found in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke, as one of the four gospel writers, is the one who's known for including the most details. He loves to give as much information and details as possible in the telling of stories. So even if you find stories that are in multiple gospels, maybe in Matthew, Mark, and Luke will usually be the one that has more particular details and information than the others. And even in this story, it's true. We see about Zacchaeus what town he's in, where he lives, Jericho. Luke tells us his profession. He's a tax collector. But not just that he's a tax collector, he's a ruler of tax collectors. He's a chief of tax collectors. He's upper management in the tax collecting business. Not only that, but that he's rich, he's wealthy, he's done well at it. Tells us that he's short, that he runs ahead of the crowd and of Jesus and climbs up in a tree so that he can see him. He even tells us what kind of tree. Sycamore tree. Maybe you remember the song? But he is well to me.
Yeah.
I'll wait if you want to just... this could go viral. We'll bust out into a song here. Maybe not. Right? Luke gives us all these details about Zacchaeus and this encounter with Jesus. By the way, just a little bit more about his profession and why those details matter. Right? You understand that as a tax collector, Zacchaeus was an Israelite working for the Romans to collect taxes from the Israelites to give to the Romans. So his kinfolk did not care for him. I mean, they thought he was a traitor. To go to work for the oppressing regime, to collect taxes from them to pay. And that's how he made his living. So he added on a little bit to the taxes that he collected for himself. And he was apparently really good at it, because he was a ruler among the tax collectors. And he was apparently pretty generous to himself with it, because he was rich. He was making a killing off the backs of his fellow Israelites. So you can imagine, they didn't like him. And this feels like a good moment to point out that his name, Zacchaeus, in Hebrew, means innocent. Pure, clean. We'll come back to that. And so here's the scene, right? Jesus comes to Jericho. There's a crowd that is gathered around. Zacchaeus has run ahead and climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. And knowing a little bit about him and who he was, seems like he probably wasn't well respected, wasn't highly thought of. Not sure what kind of religious guy he was, given the way he practiced his profession, but curious, interested at least in who Jesus was and what he'd been doing. And so there he is, up in the tree, looking down over the crowds to see Jesus as he passes by. And when Jesus comes to the tree that Zacchaeus is in, he stops. And he looks up in the tree. And he sees Zacchaeus. And he calls him by name. Zacchaeus. Now, we don't have any reason to think that they had any kind of prior relationship. The scriptures don't tell us that. Maybe they knew each other. Maybe they didn't. Jesus had been to Jericho and was around Jericho. Maybe Zacchaeus' reputation preceded himself as a ruler of the tax collectors. Maybe everybody in town just knew Zacchaeus. But nonetheless, Jesus comes to the tree and looks up at him and calls him by name and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Now, here's the thing. When you hear your name called out loud, in public, particularly by any kind of authority figure, you know, that can go either way. It reminds me of when I was in school. You're in the classroom, and the teacher calls your name. Eric? Now, does that mean that you've done something good, and you're being commended for it? Job well done? Or, as usually was the case for me, it's not that. It was quiet, get back on task. You hear your name called. That's a 50-50 proposition. Which I discovered is the same for people when I say their name as pastor. When they look on the phone and they see my name there, or my number, or I catch them and I call them by name. It's an interesting thing. Sometimes people are like, oh, yes. Sometimes people are like, oh, yes. Sort of simultaneously brings maybe comfort, maybe conviction. In that moment, Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. And he sees something in Zacchaeus that nobody else sees. Maybe not even Zacchaeus himself. But remember who Zacchaeus is and what he was. And remember the scene and this crowd, all these people that had rushed to the road to see Jesus, to meet him, to be front and center. To be noticed by Jesus, to notice Jesus. Probably religious people, communal leaders, people in need. It all pushed their way to the front. But there's Zacchaeus, off in the back, up in the tree. And Jesus spots him. Sees him. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when you see a professional athlete, a ball player, give a ball to somebody in the crowd. You see that sometimes in a football game or a baseball game. Or, you know, and usually the scene is the player is there with the ball, and everybody in that little area or section is like clamoring for it, hanging over the railing. And usually it's a bunch of adults acting like children, making fools out of themselves, you know. But then there's the occasion where the athlete will look past them and find the child to give it to. And even they'll find the child that makes this a couple of rows back that's been pushed back from all the other kids. Isn't as aggressive, as sure of themselves, or as energetic. Maybe he's a little bit more reserved and unsure or quiet. And you'll see the athletes sort of just find that child to give the ball to. I think that's a really good moment. You can see it sometimes when an adult gets the ball in the stands and they turn and find a child behind them who had no shot at getting it, but find that child and give the ball to them. That's kind of how I picture Jesus seeing Zacchaeus. Behind the crowd, beside the crowd, looking beyond the crowd, looking beyond what everybody else sees and seeing him. And there's just something about realizing that God in Jesus sees you. And to hear him call your name. He says, Zacchaeus, I see you. Come down. I want to hang out with you. Remember the scene that Jesus saw and knew, the same scene that everybody else saw. There's the crowd, all the energy, the desire to be close to him. There's Zacchaeus and his reputation and what kind of person he had been. He's off, pushed to the back, up in a tree. That's what we're tempted to see. And the scene that Luke paints for us. But even in the midst of that, Jesus saw something. Yes, he saw Zacchaeus, and saw Zacchaeus for who he was, and who he was to his community, maybe who he was to himself, but he saw something more. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as a child of God. Even later he says, today salvation has come to this house, to the household of Abraham. Jesus saw in Zacchaeus what nobody else saw. He saw in him a child of God, a participant in the work of the kingdom of God, before anybody else did. In that moment, Zacchaeus went from being the despised reprobate to being the host to the King of Kings. Thank God for the way that Jesus sees us. Thank God that Jesus looks beyond the scene, beyond the crowd, beyond the reputation and the history. Thank God that Jesus looks up in the tree. Oh, that everybody, all of us, everyone would know Jesus sees us. And know how Jesus sees us. Oh, that all of us would see the way Jesus sees. That all of us see up in the tree. You know, Emily, you pointed out that it's one thing what Jesus sees when he's there at the tree. And it's something special, but he sees something else entirely when he goes to Zacchaeus' house.
And he gets there, but first he has to encounter the crowds that were present that day. Now I'll do a quick show of hands. How many of you can remember something about your middle school experience? Your middle grades, yeah, all the hands are going up. Now, while I understand that middle school is not a universal experience that we all have, I would guess that many of you can recall some of the, let's call it awkwardness, that happens during these middle school years, of what it looks like and feels like to try to find your way during that time. You experience it in school, in your body, with your social groups. Many suggest that this is a time when you're really beginning to find out who you are, what you like, what you're inclined to. And you also begin to notice even more others' activities and behaviors. I'm pretty sure the word cliques was formed because of middle school. Groups begin to take their shape more and more. And usually it's because you're all for something. Like you all have a similar interest in a sport or a school subject, or there's a hobby that you identify with together. And sometimes even it's because you begin to gather because you don't like something. You're against something. We begin to explore on these different levels with groups that we're hanging out with, who we want to be friends with, what we want our lives to look like, and what we want to do together. And often this is going to occur as we do what we'll just call evaluating one another, right? And while this may change a bit as we get older, let's be honest. Even as adults, we find our social circles. We find the people that we get along with. And usually we tend to stick with them. It's much easier to be kind and nice to people who think the way that you do, isn't it? And we would like to think sometimes we've left our childish ways behind, that we don't participate in leaving people out or dismissing people too quickly. But I found, maybe you have too, that age does not affect us from still saying to one another, did you hear about that? Or can you believe? Some would call it the gossip tree or the rumor mill. It exists now, we encounter it now, just as it was present all the way back into the story that we received today, as Jesus is entering into Jericho. Because we see it with the crowds the day that Jesus comes to town. People were curious about him. Word had traveled probably from around the different regions about what he'd been up to. And so when he arrived, people wanted to be there to see for themselves. And as Eric already shared with us, Jesus did see something important in Zacchaeus, enough for him to go to him and call his name and ask him to come on down so that he could go to his house. But before we get to Zacchaeus' house with Jesus, did you notice the crowds? How they were responding, what they were saying to one another? Now, some of it's audible in Scripture. You can hear it, read it. And others of these lines may be more implied. He's a sinner. Zacchaeus doesn't even belong here. We don't even know if we want to claim. Why in the world would Jesus want to go to his house? Why didn't he come to my house? Whoa, hold up. Is Jesus about to be all buddy-buddy with Zacchaeus? Zach's horrible. Can you hear the chatter that was probably happening and just swarming in those crowds as they were watching and seeing what Jesus was up to? And while the story continues on to this really intimate setting of Jesus being in Zacchaeus' house, the start of it being where a group is gathered allows us to see and be reminded of the hearts and minds of the crowds, of the masses, where groups begin to gather. And one of the things about all the stories that we have with Jesus is that there are multiple layers of impact and death. And I think we'd be remiss if we saw this story as just being about Zacchaeus. Because as we see the crowds respond the way that they do, I think that there's something important there for us not to overlook. At a basic level, I believe it's a reminder that there is not an us versus them when it comes to the kingdom of God and what Jesus is up to in the world. We are the ones who typically put that on that imagination. Surely I'm more deserving or worthy, we might say, or why don't I get the front row seat or get to lean over and receive that ball? Why didn't I get the personal invitation? And truthfully, we don't know entirely why it was that Jesus chose and went to Zacchaeus that day. In fact, many of the stories that we have of Jesus is him talking to the poor and interacting with the poor. We know that Zacchaeus was not the poor among them. He was a rich tax collector. But we do know that Jesus also is very attentive to the outcast. And while Zacchaeus may have had a lot of authority, we can clearly see that he didn't have the respect of those around him, a good group of friends. He was an outcast. But Jesus saw him and went to him. Now, I know everyone has different parenting strategies in the room. I'm sure that that's true, whether or not it's how you parent your kids or how you were parented. And sometimes, even, you might have different tactics of how you handle different kids, depending on their personality. Let me just share with you that my parents knew what worked on me, and it was incredibly effective. When I would make a mistake of doing something I shouldn't do out in public and my parents were there with me, all they had to do is give me the eye. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you just give that eye glance and it's like, okay. They even worse knew that laying into me was not as effective as just being silent. I would confess so fast if there was too much silence around me. And then when it eventually would come around and we would talk out what had occurred, and they would often turn to me and say, Emily, what do you think your consequence should be? It was never a punishment. It was a consequence, right? But they would look at me and say, Emily, what do you think your consequence should be? Seriously? And then, most of the time, to add to it very calmly, they would say, you don't have to tell us right now. You just go away and think about it. You can even tell us in the morning. Let me just tell you, there was no waiting till morning. I needed to know then what the motive was going to be. And inevitably, when we would get back together and have a conversation, whatever consequence I decided it was typically way worse than what they were even thinking was reasonable. There were even times doing with me, was helping me to evaluate what all had gone on. How I was feeling, how I thought others that were potentially impacted might have felt, thinking about all the ripple effects of who I am and the way that I behave makes a difference to those around me. And so when I read Zacchaeus' story and Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house, I can't help but have a few flashbacks to those conversations with my parents. We never see Jesus laying into Zacchaeus. There's no, if you don't do this or you don't fix this, I'm going to, dot, dot, dot. There's no threat or punishment. And granted, we don't have the whole conversation. But what we see is that Zacchaeus knew. He had a sense about his behavior and the way he was treating others. He knew that he was taking advantage of people even. He knew he wasn't being fair and that he was using his authority even to create harm and difficulty for people. But I believe Zacchaeus, realizing what Jesus saw in him, seeing that he had been included, even in that moment, it caused him to respond. To say, Lord, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and I'm going to repay people that I took advantage of and cheated four times what I ever took from. Because this is what happens when we live into the kingdom that is in us. It is transformative and it causes us to want to be different, to be different. For Zacchaeus, it was that he realized that he had the ability that he could be generous with others. He realized that he could go back and be a part of mending some broken relationships, places where he had taken advantage of, that he could be part of restoring wholeness as best as possible. See, I think that's one of the consequences of life with Jesus. When we see what Jesus sees in us, it even changes us. You know, I think back to those conversations with my parents. What I'm so grateful for is they helped me to realize my connection with others. The community that I was a part of, that they were a part of with me. And to see at a more examining level, as Jessica was sharing with the tour, what did you not notice the first time around? That my relationships, what I put into it, how I treated others, the actions that I took, whether or not that was to someone else or even to care for the things that were around me, to treat things with respect, that it matters, that I could make a difference. And before we would finish our conversation, that's what we call in our family, conversation that we're having, the final words that my parents would say to me is, Em, we love you, and we're proud of you. We believe in you. It's not about the punishment or the consequence, but it's about realizing the opportunities that we have in front of us. Sometimes it means Jesus needs to come to the bottom of the tree that we're in and call us by name and tell us to come down and remind us of who we are and whose we are and that we have the ability and capability of being kind and generous. Being reminded that we are part of the kingdom of God. God, what God is up to in the world. And I believe that conversation that we have with Jesus doesn't end until we hear, "I love you. I'm proud of you. I believe in you." We are invited to consider today, what trees are you hanging out in? To be reminded that Jesus comes to us, and calls us by name, and tells us to come down and participate in the goodness going out into the world. Maybe we're even in the crowd, grumbling, finding those people that we can just ask those kind of rumor mill questions to. We find ourselves lost in that crowd. We have something to realize and see that Jesus was doing something important and significant in those moments. Our invitation today is to think about how does or how can we see as Jesus sees the world and people in our lives? Because I promise you, that only doesn't only change things around us, but it has the power, the transformative power, to do a work in you as well, so that we might experience wholeness, forgiveness, and love, and grace, to be reminded of the kingdom that is within each of us. Praise be to God. Amen.